more.
Well, happy new year, everybody. This is another episode of the Dream Big podcast with Bob Goff and friends. I'm back. This is your co-host, Scott Schimmel. I'm here with Bob Goff, and it's a new year, new Bob.
It's a new everything, and also our friend Tatif, who is the person behind the scenes, is married. Is that cool or what?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So it's a whole new thing. She would be mortified if I said something. So don't tell her I mentioned it on the podcast she's listening to right now.
Don't follow her on Instagram.
But one of the things I want to do is call out our friends that have made things possible. And none of this would have been possible without Tatif. So thank you.
Yeah. And happy wedding to Tatif. And we wish her the best and all the blessings for her new life together with Mikey. So speaking of that, well, one of the gifts we can give to Tatif is this episode, because the top two or three biggest areas of conflict in a marriage is personal finances. And today on the episode, we have Rachel Cruz, who's not just the daughter of Dave Ramsey. For those of you who don't know Dave, he is the expert in the world on personal finances. But she carries her own weight, obviously, as an author, as a writer, as a mom, and as someone that has been working through all the content that we've all received from her dad. Tell us about how you know Rachel.
Yeah, I know Dave and his family, and Rachel just stands on her own. She's just a wonderfully nice person, super knowledgeable, but navigating the same thing that a lot of you that are listening are navigating: a marriage, navigating kids, navigating finances. And she's just a voice that you can trust. And so one of the benefits of dealing with some difficult issues, there's things for the Goff family to learn. Scott, I bet there would be things that you'll take away from this.
Yep.
It was just a really practical conversation about money, finances, and what do we do? And so what better way to kick off this year than talk about that is we're not transcending just a resolution, but to just say we're going to deal with our finances with resolve and to give a couple super practical ideas about what to do about that.
Yeah. And money isn't just something that we use or something that anchors us or causes conflict. It's a tool for us to grow in self-awareness. And so that's what I'm going to get out of this episode. I think you will too, as you listen into Bob's conversation with Rachel Cruz.
Rachel, thank you so much for jumping on the Dream Big podcast.
Oh, thanks, Bob, for having me. Seriously, such a pleasure. I love it. I love you. And the fact that I get to chat with you is so fun.
Yeah, I have an advantage over everybody else because I get to see your smiling face, which is actually something for a mom of three. Like, that must be very influenced by caffeine, a little bit of Red Bull. Like, how are you doing?
Coffee. Yeah.
That's it. I tried to sprinkle in a couple Pop-Tarts in there as well.
My girls may have had Pop-Tarts this morning before school, so don't judge. But yeah, we're a Pop-Tart family for sure.
Tell me about your book. You've got a book that's coming out. You've spoken to so many people, and you're actually relevant. You're the right demographic. You're the right age. You're speaking to people kind of peer-to-peer on finances. A lot of people identify you with that. I want to hear about the book, but I want to hear about the thing behind the book. Like, what is it that lights you up? Why is it that you're doing this and writing books rather than 100 other things?
Gosh, well, personal finance in general is just one of my life passions. Like, I love it. I love helping people gain control of their money, because money is such a intimidating topic for a lot of people. It's a shameful topic for most. There's a lot of mistakes that are made. People just get really overwhelmed. So the fact that I get to give them a step-by-step path and tools to win, it's a joy. I mean, I love it so much. And so for me, though, that this journey, you know, over the past probably 3 years of my life, I've really kind of dove into self-discovery. I've done a lot of counseling, read a lot of books. Like, I'm just this idea of understanding myself more. I'm obsessed with it. I love it. Whether it's the Enneagram or whatever it is, understanding myself has been huge. And so I've realized how much that self-awareness and in a positive way has affected my marriage, my parenting, my friendships. And I thought, you know, a few years ago, I was like, man, how does this affect my money? Because for so long, I've talked to people about how to handle their money, right? How to budget, how to get out of debt, how to build wealth, how to invest, how to do these things. But I've never really asked the question, why? Like, why do we spend the money we spend? Why do we view money the way we do? How does our lives and who we are affect that? And so with this book, that's kind of the jumping point is like, wow, really getting underneath who you are. And when you can grasp that, I think it allows you to win with money so much faster.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend who had an ambition. He wanted to lose some weight. And so he went from 340 pounds to 174. And so we were talking about, you know, how do you write a book? And I thought, oh, you've got to write this book called Find Your Feet. So he had an ambition. And then he was taking small steps towards this thing, and he didn't take huge steps. He just knew what he wanted, why he wanted it, and he decided what he was going to do about that. And so we hear those stories about somebody that is like half the person they used to be. You think of the stories of the person that just got all out of debt. They were all upside down. But I think where a lot of people are, they just need a tune-up. And I think nothing better when you get to a big mall and you don't know where you're at to find the little map that has the X and it says, you are here. And then you remind yourself, why did I come to the mall? I don't know if you've ever gone to the grocery store and thought like, why did I come again? Because then you end up with all the Twizzlers because that's always while I come. But I could leave having not really accomplished anything. And so the understanding like where you are, find your feet. I love you guys in the South. You say, be where your feet are. But a lot of people just don't know how they're feeling, checking in with their, you could think of everything that starts with an F, your faith, your family, your friends, fun, finances, football. Like just start with the F's. And then to just kind of to check in and all of that will say where your feet are. So tell me how your book helps us do that.
Well, it really gives you the tools and the language to understand you more when it comes to money. So it's everything from how you grew up and pinpointing that, your money tendencies, your money fears, your dreams, and how that affects your money. There's so much in us. And a lot of it makes our decisions for us. We don't even realize it, how powerful these segments of our lives are. And when you can actually just acknowledge it and see it and grow from the weak points of that, it gives you the tools to win. It really, really does. And I think for some people too, you know, one of our messages is to get out of debt. And we talk about, you know, sacrifice everything, live on rice and beans and rice, and throw everything at the debt, get out of debt so that you're not, you don't owe anyone anything. And you have the freedom now to do things with your money. And so many people just kind of white knuckle their way through that process. They just grab on and go, which is fine. But I thought, man, what if you could really take the bad habits that you've had with money and say, hey, how can I change this and actually change who I am in the process? It makes the whole journey with money so much more enjoyable when you actually understand who you are, the person handling the money.
Yeah, you feel like you're like making some headway. So unless you're an Enneagram 4 and you identify with self-loathing and all of that, which makes for some great lyrics, but it makes for a really difficult life. What one of the things I want to do is celebrate along the way. So give the people that are listening, what's a just really practical way to celebrate a small success along the way?
Oh gosh. I mean, I think you need to plan it out, which sounds super probably annoying in life right now, but really, I think people can get their head down so tactical day in and day out that they don't look up and say, oh wow, we accomplished something amazing. So I would say, hey, if it's, we'll take finances, we'll keep the money theme throughout this. Like, okay, when we pay off X amount of debts, let's put a marker there and say, okay, when we do that, let's go do something. So actually plan it. And it can be something free. You can spend a little money doing it if you want, but like whatever it is, you have to celebrate those wins because for money, personal finance, it's 80% behavior. It's only 20% head knowledge. So the behavior part is so key. So celebrating the behavior that you've changed and the progress you've made is so, so important in this journey.
Yeah, I'm learning how to shoot arrows, not at things, but at targets. And so I have this compound bow that makes me look pretty bad. But I used to not be able to pull it back because it actually takes a little bit of like pull before it gets easy. Like the compound, once you get over the hump, then it's actually, you can hold it and it's easy. But I've learned how to pull it so many times. I've actually strengthened that muscle. And so I've just found that there's easier settings on the bow. You could just make it so you could pull it back super easy all the time. But I actually like the challenge of doing something that's hard. And I think when it comes to finances, when it comes to family and relationships, I mean, they're all knit together. These are not isolated categories. They're just all the things that start with F, including failure. But to just say there's going to be a couple setbacks along the way, I'm a very spontaneous person, as you've like picked up. I'm like, just like, whatever, let's do it. Hot air balloon. And I figure at this point, 62, I'm just spending my kids' inheritance anyway. But what I'm doing is I'm thinking, well, how does that fit into the bigger picture of me? And as a grandpa, which is my high calling, I want to be that fun guy. I mean, ever since I saw The Wizard of Oz and the guy floated away on the balloon, I'm like, I'm in. So have this thing in mind and then make sure that the moves that you're making are serving the bigger picture. How about this? Have you ever, Rachel, and this is like not a dare, but what if you draw a picture for your family today of what it feels like to be you? Like, just tell us what that picture would look like. What's it feel like to be you? Mom, wife, three kids, writing books, spelling things. Like, what's it feel like to be, family with all the complications, yes. Some guy named Dave, what's it feel like to be you? Just tell us in words.
Wow. What does it feel like to be me? I would say right now, I'll probably listen back to this podcast and be like, that wasn't true, Rachel. But right, I mean, honestly, the word peaceful came to my mind because I was sharing with you a little bit before this podcast, like I do have so many hats, right? I mean, whether it's my job has multiple hats within that, three kids, five and under, a husband, a family, friends, great neighborhood. I mean, like all of it, it's just, there's a lot. And so I have learned to narrow down my life right now. I have shrunk my life down to what I really am valuing. And so for me, it's my kids. Like, being more present at home has been a big part of the season for me. And my desires have shifted in that way that I thrive so much more than I ever have before. Like, I came back early off maternity leave after my first baby. I was like, get me back in the office. Like, I'm ready to get back and start traveling. And after the third, I don't know. It just shifted. So I honestly, there's been a level of peace in my life recently. And I've kind of just like said no more than I probably ever have. And I'm really okay with that. I have such a peace. So that's a big feeling in my life right now. Again, talk to me at 3 o'clock when the two girls come home from school, and peace probably was not in the vocabulary.
Yes. But I'm just picturing, if I was drawing a picture, I wouldn't be a good biographer, but, and actually I'm not much of an artist either, but if I was drawing this, I'd picture you in a car, and in the backseat of the car is this hat rack, a bunch of boxes, and you've had all these different hats that you've been wearing. And what you've done is you've just left one of those storage places and you've offloaded a couple of the hats. You haven't gotten rid of them. You did not burn them. You just said, you know what? A couple of these things, I'm just going to tap the brakes on. And then that car has a dashboard and it says, here are the metrics of my life I'm going to look at. Family is huge. RPMs, you've got a ton of energy, so RPMs don't matter. But the odometer, like how much mileage your life is putting on your family, that actually became a really big thing. So as you're listening, if you find a wide spot in the road, maybe even just draw it. Everybody will think you're nuts, and you are nuts. But let's just get it out on a page to say, what does it look like to be you? And then let's just draw another picture to say, what does it look like to be the person you're aiming for? And if debt and finances, if that's the reason that you tuned in, and we have one of the leading experts on that, if that is a thing, then you have a car and you've got this big bag in the back and it's just a bunch of debt, or they're barbells that you're trying to like lift and you just can't bench press that, and you've got the bar and I can't breathe, because what I'm trying to do is to access a different part of your brain than you've been operating, because the one that you've been working with hasn't been your friend. And so that's why I'm coming full circle to you, Rachel, taking a deep dive into saying, hey, who am I? Let me just check in with who I'm becoming, new day, new Rachel, new Bob, new you as a listener, to say, okay, so let me just draw what it looks like to me be me today. Maybe checking out of some of your capabilities. I'm a lawyer. I've got licenses in a whole bunch of states to be a lawyer, but I don't practice law anymore. I'm like, nah. Yeah. Tell me about the process of writing. Tell me about how did you go about doing this? What were the challenges that you encountered? What were the successes or breakthroughs that you had?
Well, writing is, it's the least fun part of my job for me personally, which is so interesting that I'm
just very tedious.
And I'm not a great writer. I'm much better a verbal communicator. So put me on a stage, put me in a TV studio for a media hit in 3 minutes. I'm like, I can nail my points. I love talking. That's how it is. And as you know, in our line of work, the spoken word is very different than the written word, right? When you just write out how you speak, it's a little bit different on paper. And so that's how I tend to write. So I have a great editor that helps me, like, okay, here's all this. But I wrote this book, which may not have been smart, pregnant with my third. And I did it pretty quickly. I had a few people on my team help me brainstorm kind of the outline because I had so many thoughts. Because knowing yourself and knowing your money, gosh, it could go so many directions. But I kind of had these big buckets that I really wanted to fill within it, and how to make that a good story, how to actually read a book and you enjoy the process as the reader was important. And so yeah, I had a great outline that I kind of went by, and I write in the morning. I don't know about you, but that's like my time. I can get up early and I'll have a good 2 hours that I can just brain dump everything. So that, and then working through the process with editing and all of it. So it's a journey for sure. And it's like a chore. I hate to say it. It sounds terrible, but it's just the truth. It feels like a school paper. I feel like I'm like writing a midterm paper. I have like a deadline and I give myself word count. I'm like, I have to hit this word count in 2 hours, Rachel, because you have to stay on track. I have like very specific goals for me because I could just wander off and put it off really easily.
Yeah. So what I found in writing is sometimes I think that something's going to make a great chapter and it really makes a great sentence. Sometimes what I'll do is when I'm actually spinning the puzzle piece, I'll find out like, it's a great idea, but this isn't the central idea. And what editors do, for those of you that are aspiring to write, what they'll do, the best ones will say, there are two ideas here. Just pick one. You just can't pick both. So just pick one of those ideas and we'll talk about that. And so what I want us to do is take those, whether you want to write a novel or not, to say, okay, so what's the central idea? What are you really getting at? When you take this idea, some of our common friends back in Nashville at OnSite, Miles Adcox, he will constantly remind me that you got to see it so you can understand it before you can fix it. And so it sounds like a really beautiful time. I'm glad that this corresponded with you writing and pregnant with number three and now talking about it post number three, because I think it's will be a time where you're just have understood, you have a lot more color behind what it is that you were thinking, why you're doing what you're doing. And I think that will be what will cause people to have some success in their finances, in their family. What I learned is that you must be present to win. You need to just be home. You can't be everywhere. And so that I know is the push-pull in lifestyles where we have some similarities there. And so in January, before all the crazy happened, I canceled 72 events one day.
Wow.
I just said, I'm out. I'm Grandpa Bob now.
Before COVID.
Yeah, before this, I'm like, nah, I'm out. And so I just decided, I'm kind of like Forrest Gump. He just decided he was going to go home. So I just decided. He'd been running for 3 years, 2 months, 14 days, and 16 hours. And don't even ask me why I remember this stuff. But what I want to do is, having run for a couple laps, I just go like, you know what? I think the highest and best use of me will be to remain available to people, including my family. But what I was doing is remaining available to everybody else. And there was a moment where people around us can help us, whether it's in finances or faith or fun. And it's not a big intervention. It's just, it was Maria telling me that I feel like you picked everybody else except me. I was like, oh, is that hard to hear? And so that goes in the failure category, because
this person that I said, I do, she didn't know that that meant I was going to be so busy doing stuff that I wouldn't actually be present for this. And so if I, what I want to say with a lot of authenticity, if you're listening, is just like, get back to what will outlast you. What do you want to be remembered for? And you want to be famous with a bunch of strangers? You want to be famous with your family and then run home.
It is, man. And I've learned too, for me, is that life is so seasonal. I have some great women that are about a season of life ahead of me, kid-wise and career-wise, that I can confide in and get advice and thoughts and all that. And all of them, it's such a God thing, but all of them said the word season. So like, Rachel, it's seasons. Like when you look up and your kids are in middle school, that's a totally different season of life than having three kids at home. You know, like, I mean, it's amazing, yes, how life and God gives you these seasons and your desire. And that was always my prayers. Like, God, shift my desire, shift my heart to what you need, where you need me to be. Where do you need me? And he will answer that. I really believe it. When you're diligent with it and asking and seeking, like, you'll feel it. You'll know.
It'll be the distractions that get people away, whether it's the F for finances or F for family, or it'll be a distraction that'll get you away. And I just think darkness doesn't want to destroy me and you, Rachel, just wants to distract us. Because if it distracts me and you, then it takes four other people offline who will take 10 other people offline, who will take 100 people offline. And so I just want to live a life distracted by finances. I don't want to be living a life distracted by getting everybody's applause. I want to live a life distracted for those of you where faith informs your decisions. I just want to get distracted by Jesus. I just say, like, to see evidence of him in this. And then just take some notes. Like, write down what you learned, because I promise if you don't write it down, you'll forget it. Are you the same way?
Oh, I'm like, I'm a huge journaler. I'm just, or the notes icon on my iPhone has been like a lifesaver. I mean, it's a jumble of all these random thoughts, but if throughout the day I'm like, oh, I need to put that down, or that story or that interaction, because you do, you forget, and you tell yourself, I'll remember that. And then of course, no, you don't. So yeah,
yes, the newest iteration of Bob, it's Cowboy Bob. So I have horses, and there were other people's horses that were boarding because we had an absolutely empty camp. So we're making it on the horses. And so what I didn't know about horses, which is everything, is that when you feed them, you have to hold your hands really flat. Have you done that? You're from Tennessee. I think you're born feeding horses and stuff.
Yeah, I don't have horses in my backyard, but yes, I know exactly what you're
saying. But yeah. You hold your, and what you tend to do when you're a little nervous about it, you want to like curl your fingers in a little bit because you just don't know how this is going to go. And that's a great way to end up counting to 9.5 because... they will bite that thing off. Not because they're mean. They're just like, that's the way it works. It's a big mouth. It's a small hand and it fits in. So think about that. Run with that, with the idea of distractions and fear or even finances, that what we do instead of being kind of palms up to that, just hold it flat to say, God, would you help me release this distraction of finances? And it's more than just flat-handedness, but it's actually having a plan. So talk to us about just some super, uber practical ideas of just have a plan. Give the people that just pulled over, go like, you've been reading my mail, and they're mostly bills, and here's a super easy way to take a next step.
Yeah, because I think that's a great, we'll get to the plan in a second, but when you said that, I'm like, yes, because in order for money and finances not to be a distraction, there's a level of control you have to have. When you don't have any control over it and you have creditors calling you, you have too much debt that you can't even pay for. I mean, that's distracting. That keeps people up at night. That stresses people out. And so being able to say, you know what, I'm going to get in control of my money allows it that you're actually controlling your money. Your money's not controlling you. And I think that that's a really powerful position to be in. So yeah, I mean, a couple of things, the budget is huge. And that allows you to say, hey, here's my boundaries, here's my limits, here's what I have to do with my money each and every month. So I teach people a very simple zero-based budget. Income minus all your expenses equals zero. So every dollar coming in is already assigned to a category. You have a plan, you know where it's going. And when you have that level of control and you know where you're spending, and if you're married, you and your spouse agreeing on that and saying, hey, this is our plan, that gives such freedom. I hated budgeting. This was like the one part of money that I was probably the worst at, honestly, because naturally I'm a little bit more free-spirited. I'm not great at details. And so this was like, it just felt terrible. It felt boring. It felt cheap. I was like, I don't want to be on a budget. I don't want to do a budget. But the moment I did it, I realized that there is a level of freedom in that, that I have a level of control, that I'm not questioning. I'm not buying something or giving money away or doing anything with money that I'm like, is this okay? All those questions are answered when you do that budget. So that's key. I would say in emergency funds, COVID hit, and I think a lot of people got shooken up financially, whether they were laid off or furloughed or just the fear of what was going to happen to their job and being able to provide, man, it woke a lot of people up of realizing, wow, 78% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck and 40% of America cannot cover a $400 emergency in cash. They don't have the money. And so saying, okay, let's put a safety net in place so that I can be able to go and do the things I want to do. I can go and dream and pursue things I want with knowing that like I'm not being irresponsible, that I have a level of safety net here. So I always tell people to start with $1,000. Once you're out of debt, bump that up to 3 to 6 months of expenses. And that gives you breathing room. Like when you don't have debt and you have some savings in the bank, gosh, your mind is able to rest at that point. I mean, there's an emotional, spiritual element of just saying, okay, I can rest. This stuff is getting taken care of and it's there. So I can go and do things that I want to do now, knowing that I'm not putting myself or my family in jeopardy.
Yeah. And don't forget the fun part as you're listening. Sweet Marie and I got a chicken our first week of marriage. I think it must have come as a gift. And we called it chicken feed. We just put our money in the chicken. It is 34 years, 2 months, and 14 days later. I'm counting up, she's counting down. But after all those years, we still have the chicken. And as each of our kids got married, they got a chicken. With a little bit of scratch in it. So what I want us to do is think of a way to celebrate. If it's $1,000, you're going to hide under your pillow. Probably not the best investment scheme, but do it in $2 bills. Like, so don't do it in crew grants, but just like do it in some way that reminds you that this is fun, that this is just not eating your broccoli. Sorry, broccoli farmers. Like it's winsome, and that will make it memorable. I'm so glad we have our chicken, and it reminds us of who we are. Last question. Tell us about the coming year. I'm just so glad we got to spend some time, but as people think of you, they'll be reading your book. But tell us what changes for you. New day, new you.
Right. It's coming up. I mean, the book launching in January is going to be so fun. I'm so excited. I've been always excited with all my books, but this one, I guess it's just so personal to me, going on this journey myself and letting people be like, okay, yes, helping them get these tools of understanding themselves. So that's the beginning. So I get to kick off the year with that book launch, which is really fun. And then, from there, I mean, I'm doing the Rachel Cruze Show at work. I'm home more. I think we talked about that, which is such a fun season. And so being there with the kids, getting to do drop off of preschools and schools and pick up. And I got a minivan, Bob. I bought a minivan.
Come on, get out of town.
I'm a real mom now.
Only if it has the fake wood siding. Like, you've arrived when you've got the sticker.
We have a few trips. Who knows if they'll end up? I think they will. They're within America's borders, so hopefully they will not be canceled from COVID or anything. Yes. But we have a couple of things to look forward to. I'm an experience person. That's one thing I talk about the book. People use money either for things. They like an item, something, but I'm experienced. So I'm like, I have to have something to look forward to. I always do. So we have one or two things that Winston and I are doing with the kids coming up, which I'm excited about.
And I think there's something beautiful as we kind of wrap it up. I just want to encourage people to just slow it down a little bit, be kind to yourself. Some of these things that you think you stink at, you're actually right. You stink at them. That just means you can get better at them. More room to improve. But don't be too hard on yourself and don't be in a huge hurry. I know for me, I'm slowing. If there's a theme, you're tapping the brakes on some things. I remember when we had our minivan, I was in a hurry to do something for the kids to get them in their seats and then also to run around to the back of the van to get something. So I slid the door all in like one fluid movement. What I didn't realize is that my fingers were in the door when it shut, And so I only got halfway to the back of the minivan. And the message had not traveled up my arm to my brain yet that you are about to really feel the bark. And so what I want us to do, I'm very flat-handed now. I'm left-handed now. So what I want us to do is to just slow it down. And then just say, if you're feeling like your life is going Mach 5, your hair's on fire, you just tap the brakes. The sun is going to rise in the morning. If it doesn't, Rachel, you give me a call. You're 2 hours ahead of me. I want to be your first call. But it will. And you're going to make some advances as you're hearing Rachel's advice in finances, and you'll have a couple setbacks. But don't camp out at the setbacks. They're setbacks. It's a new day. Just keep going. Rachel, thank you so much for grabbing some time with us.
Thank you, Bob. Thanks for having me on. I so appreciate it.
The best part for me, Bob, that conversation is what Rachel says, that money is like a mirror. Money can be a tool for our own self-awareness, our own self-discovery. And money for so many people is emotional. It's wrapped up in what we have or what we don't have or what we wish we had. And I really appreciate that perspective. All of a sudden, money isn't this thing that gets in the way, but money is another tool for us to grow into the best version of ourselves.
Yeah, it'll chase you out into the open. The financial stress that you're under, it'll chase you out into the open. Where did that come from? What's the underlying thing? If you have some successes and you have a bunch of money, it'll chase you out in the open to say, what about my generosity and how does that work? So it's when we can take that bold step to get out in the open with it and to come up with a plan out in the open, agree on it, kind of stack hands, and then just execute the plan. And 2021 sounds like a great year to me to put wheels on some of your ambitions surrounding finances, to get a hold of them. Don't let them push you around anymore. And to say, okay, so this is what we're going to do. And Sweet Maria famously tells me, Bob, work the plan. And I think that's such a great message for all of us. Just like get on and figure out a plan and then just work it.
So for you, as you're listening, what does money do for you? In what way is money a mirror to you and a tool for your own ongoing self-discovery about who you're becoming and how you're becoming a new person who's free, full of peace, not anxiety, not worry, not control? Let's take a look at that this week as you listen in to this conversation and as you spend time with Rachel's content and her book. So thanks for this conversation, Bob. We're going to have a good, fun year, I think, as we've got a bunch of stuff planned.
Well, happy new year, everybody, from the Dream Big team. And if you don't know what that means, it means this. 2020 is over. It's a new year. You made it. We all made it. And no matter what happened in your life, this year is a new opportunity for you and the big dreams that you're holding on to. So this year, here's an opportunity. Let Bob Goff be your guide as he walks through every single week a new teaching video and some content and curriculum to help you grow. It's called Bob Weekly. It just launched, and we'd love to invite you to sign up today. Go to bobgoff.com/weekly to learn more and get started. It's only $8.99 a month. Now's the time. New year, new you, new Bob.